grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Kia ora, Chris Fowley from The Hemp Store, welcome.
Well, kia ora and welcome to you and me.
Now,
and you, Corey.
A big old day, as mentioned at the very start of the show, it's First Thursdays up on K Road. So
yeah.
It's all K Road is a buzz with activity and
yeah,
cool things
is.
To look at, see and do and see.
Yeah, it's a nice evening for it too.
Yeah, it is a nice day
noting,
actually. After a couple miserable days of weather, we've got a good one today.
Yeah.
Now, Chris.
So, but just to, I did interrupt you. It's substance testing. Is
yes.
where you were going to.
Yep.
That's what
yep.
you were about
yep.
to say. I could read
yes.
your mind. Yes. Substance testing is on right now at the Hemp Store till 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to head on in there and bring in your bits and bobs and get them tested, know what you're taking.
Yes,
it's always good.
Yep.
And you know, one of the few countries in the world where you can do that.
Yep.
Where you're legal, where you're not in the shadows, and you're legally protected. And in fact, someone that was getting their stuff tested today, I was dropping off a cannabis sample actually, and they said that all the people they had talked to were worried about going in,
mm-hmm.
and thought there might be people watching and things. And mm-hmm. and I reassured them, and I just sort of thought, well, I'll take this opportunity now. You're legally protected. It's built into the law.
Mm-hmm.
No one can be searched as a result of being seen there or the result itself. You could waive the result in front of a cop. They could not search you or prosecute you on the basis of that.
Mm-hmm.
So those protections are built in. And they have no interest in it, you know, these days. They
yes.
they are not loitering around. They're not watching.
Of course.
But as I say, all those things are protected. They can't even take your name and stuff, so you can't be identified.
Yes.
You know? So have no fear. Get
Excellent.
Down there and get your stuff tested.
Excellent. Hey, now, Chris, it is a massive week in news. Where are we starting? There's some great international news here.
Well, let's nail that for the beginning, eh? Because
yep.
they kind of all link together.
Okay.
And that's that. And it has been a big week for international cannabis law reform, it turns out. So Luxembourg, just to begin, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that a vote was coming up. Well, that passed. 38-22, they have legalized home growing and possession. So you move to Luxembourg, you can grow four adults in a private place, not
mm-hmm.
visible to the public,
mm-hmm.
and when you're out, about 3 grams, so just a little bit in your pocket.
Yep.
This makes them the second EU country to do it properly, not just like Holland and kind of
yes.
talk about it, but not actually do it,
mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, that's great what they've done. But Malta was the first only a couple of years ago, 2021.
Okay.
Their law, because they worked out that, you know, the EU itself has a prohibition on establishing a legal cannabis market,
mm-hmm.
it turns out.
Mm. All right.
So Malta went, well, let's do what they do in Spain, and again, not quite officially. So Malta's doing it officially, and that's these things called cannabis social clubs, which I'm a big fan of, because I've been to a few of them, joined them in that. We've had a proto kind of one here in New Zealand called the Dactory.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside the law, underground, this is when you're properly licensed.
You say underground, it was just a big shack, wasn't it?
It was a shed. It was a shed, not a shack. Yeah, it was in Newlyn, and it had the sort of tacit approval, or not approval, the looking the other way of the local police until they were in the media, and then they couldn't look the other way.
Mm.
Yes. It all went downhill from there. So doing it properly, you know, means that people aren't at that kind of risk. But the idea is that members, people can join up and they can grow together, consume together, have a safe space, but it's non-profit. There's no commercial element.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get all that kind of advertising and that kind of thing that sometimes other people who aren't part of the culture think, oh, that's going a bit too far. And
mm-hmm.
maybe what they've seen in America or Canada and that. So the cannabis social clubs are a non-profit model that puts the consumers first. The consumers are the heart of it,
mm-hmm.
because they're the members of the club and they run the club
mm-hmm.
for themselves, and they do it as a non-profit. So they might grow communally and then share. So this is what they've done in Malta. So Germany, just this week, or it might have been last week, just announced plans. That's what they're going to do. So Germany was going to fully legalize, so part of the coalition deal with the Greens. But again, you know, they worked out, well, they can't do that in the EU. So they're doing it, they've just put in, they're going to put the bill into their German parliament, the Bundestag, next month in August.
Right.
And that will, they're calling it a lighter legalization. And that will legalize personal use, home growing, and cannabis social clubs.
Is
Czech Republic has already said, we're going to do the same. So it's just going to spread around Europe, I think.
Is there still the potential for a reasonable tax revenue for these for the government, you know, when you've got these social cannabis clubs operating?
Probably not, because the aim is to be a non-profit and to make it cheap and accessible and be a good
alternative to the black market. Would there still be GST on the sales?
Well, if you're not selling anything, if you're just growing and sharing it around, you know, that's usually the idea. But it can be done differently. You know, like, say, for example, in Uruguay, they have a version there, and they do allow the clubs to employ people and for those costs to be reimbursed and things like that. So people are paying for the cannabis they get from them, but it's as a total, it's non-profit.
I'm just thinking about this club model, which I think is fantastic and, you know, an amazing way to go about it. But are you relying on someone with a space, like someone need to gift a space to the club to initially set up?
Yeah. Well, it'd be legal. So again, if we look back to the Daiquiri, wasn't legal. Had to find a sympathetic landlord that could turn the other way or whatever. But under a legal scenario, you don't need that.
Just find a landlord who's into it.
Yeah. If we look, for example, to here, what's legal in New Zealand is medical use and medical consumers. And we have, maybe, we don't know, the Ministry of Health doesn't keep data on how many actual patients have got prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at the total number of prescriptions. But it's probably around 25,000 people so far.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the 250,000 medicinal users and maybe 500,000 to 600,000 cannabis users. So it's a very small chunk. But those people are legal, and those people could assemble together and form a club and rent a place and have it as their club and consume their medicine in there if they choose to.
All right.
And they need to. That could happen right now. And in fact,
Chris, are you spearheading this movement?
I'm going to announce it, I'll take the liberty. So people may have heard of Whakamana, the cannabis museum that was based down in Dunedin.
Yes.
It closed a few years ago, and Abe Gray, who runs it, he's had all the things in storage. He lives it now here in Auckland, and he's been looking for a place to reopen.
Okay.
And he announced just last night that he thinks he's found this place.
Ooh. Yes.
He's not saying quite where yet.
Okay.
I can't announce it publicly, but it's a bloody good spot, but it's expensive. And so there's going to be a fundraising gig to sort of test out the premise and both the physical place, but also can a club work.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone that goes will need to have a prescription in order to go.
So I could go. I've got a prescription. I got one a couple weeks ago.
Can you go, Corey?
Yeah, nah.
Sounds like we need to get you a prescription, Corey.
Okay. Jeez, you need to relax, you know, so there you go. So there you go. So August the 12th was the date. Put that in your diary. So that will be potentially New Zealand's first legal cannabis event.
All right.
Okay. You should bring him up. Get him up.
We will. Okay. Let's do it. He's probably listening now. Hey, come up next week. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So this is bloody good. So you put that in your diary and stay tuned and check out Whakamana on Facebook, and you can see how you can support the concept too by becoming like a patron. You might want to put in $5 or $10 a week and just support the concept, make it happen.
Yes.
It's going to happen in Australia, it turns out. So the Aussie Legalised Cannabis Party, we've said over the last few weeks how they're getting all these MPs elected. Well, in Victoria, Upper House MP, legalised cannabis MP. I just love the sound of that. I love saying it. David Edishank, he has said, well, they've now drawn up plans for cannabis social clubs in Australia where people who are unwilling or unable to grow, you might have a lack of space or just not able to do it, you can entrust farmers to grow for them. And this is step two of the three-step plan to legalise adult use across Australia.
Okay.
Those lucky buggers.
Yes.
So it just shows that it can happen. It can happen. And then if we just look again, just to complete this cannabis social club model roundup, the Cook Islands. Again, we talked about them the last couple of weeks. Well, their delegation came to New Zealand a couple of weeks ago. I met with them, as a bunch of other people did. Very pleased and somewhat surprised, but very pleased to hear that they're actually fully considering this kind of model as a way of providing cheap, accessible medicinal cannabis to people in the Cooks who, by and large, don't have a lot of money. Person on pension there apparently only gets $100 a week. That's what they got to live on. So they ain't got a lot spare to get their medical cannabis. So the idea is setting up a non-profit patient co-op model where they can grow it themselves in the Cooks and share it around the patients at no profit. So bloody good. Great to hear that kind of thing is going to happen. Right here in the Pacific. And we'll be able to visit and join the club while we're there.
Nice. Now, okay, what else, Chris? Whoa. As we're rattling through, we've got some more local news.
You've got a whole second page of more news.
God, it just keeps going. I saw you turn to Connecticut there.
Oh, yes,
and that was it's another legalization event happened, and that was last Saturday. As of last Saturday, if you're in Connecticut, you can grow six plants, three of which can be mature, And this is part of their implementing legalization, which was for medical in 2021, now being extended to everyone. Officials urged growers to use safe and healthy gardening practices.
Mm-hmm.
Store your harvest in a childproof container, and you've got to grow it indoors and out of public view. And secure from children and pets.
Okay.
They all sounded quite sensible. Yes. So good on good old Connecticut.
Yep.
And then what else was happening overseas was a whole bunch of New Zealand medical cannabis companies went to Germany last week. NZTE paid for them to go over. Ruhr, CannaSouth, Helios, Puro. What was interesting, well, the only coverage that I saw locally of it was Carmen Doran of Helios telling an investor forum there that New Zealand cannabis companies, which by my calculation have lost over $200 million so far,
wow,
are undervalued, she said, and are a great investment. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I looked up Ruhr and CannaSouth on the old NZX. They're currently trading at a third of their peak.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had invested then, well, you've lost a fair bit. Mm-hmm. And Helios, in their last investor round, valued themselves also at a third of the money that they've taken in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly a long way to go before these guys become profitable.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Mm. Are they exporting product to overseas markets?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think there's been a few tentative shipments, but not aware of anything significant. Ruhr has sent some stuff over to Germany, actually. No, I'll correct that. So there has been a little bit. And I think CannaSouth has announced something going into Australia, perhaps.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure. So that's starting. Those sort of things are starting. So I'm sure great things ahead, I'm sure.
Mm.
But speaking of great things, I'm just rattling through it. Endo sufferer in constant pain until she tried medicinal cannabis. This was on a website called Capsule NZ, which I hadn't really come across, but it's part of Stuff, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to Jess Sandovai, founder of Endo Warriors Aotearoa, who's experienced a whole lot of very painful complications and uncomfortable things relating to her endometriosis, now found relief through medicinal cannabis. It's a bloody good article, and it also includes an interview with Dr. Claire Halford of the Cannabis Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're just scrolling through it there, John. It's a bloody good article for all the things that are quite good to know if you want to access a medicinal cannabis scheme or show that to someone who's a little bit hesitant, shall we say?
Yes, capsulenz.com.
Right on.
And you said Cannabis Clinic, which I got my prescription from, pretty easy, you know?
There you go.
Via Zoom as well, so I didn't even have to. I did it while I was at work. Don't tell Tom.
Your secret's safe with us, don't worry.
That's great.
Let's see, other New Zealand local coverage was the Herald today.
Mm.
This was quite interesting. Who's got the rub of the green was the headline, because you've got to have that kind of headline, eh? And that is a medicinal cannabis power list. This is paywalled, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But NZ Herald, tech and business writer Chris Keel, supposedly the most influential players in the cannabis industry, the dope dozen, he called them, as some sort of compliment.
Yes.
Bit of backhanded.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's saying, some of them are starting to realise the potential of the sector, but there are also some big handbrakes. But mm-hmm. I thought tellingly, out of his top 12, regulators and politicians were the bulk of them. The most influential, number one, was the Minister of Health. And you think, well, that shouldn't be the case. But anyway, it is. Chief Regulator at MedSafe, Chris James, number three. Chloe Swarbrook, number four. The head of the GPs, number five. You know, PharmAc, number six. You know, so you can see, where's the actual growers and patients and advocates in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, and no sign of Medleaf or Puro, which if you're smoking any or vaping or making tea out of your prescribed medicinal mm-hmm. cannabis, chances are it's from Medleaf or Puro, but they're not on the list. So, harumph, harumph. Hey,
Chris, we've had a question come through.
Mm.
What do you think about vaping legal issues at the moment in regards to store numbers, advertising, age restrictions not being followed, etc., giving cannabis a bad name and making law reform for cannabis harder due to the issues of vaping? Is there a correlation there?
The term vaping conflates both the e-liquid nicotine substitution devices that are what it's in all the dairies, and the most concerns that I'm hearing are about those.
Yes.
But vapes, certainly originally, and the way that I would use it, is what they call a dry herb vape, which is for putting your medicinal cannabis in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not hearing any issues around those sorts of things, any kind of controversy around it. But certainly you're going to see changes there. They've already announced that, and the issue is going to be, do they create another illicit market if they crack down too much? Mm-hmm. And what makes New Zealand different is that we have a policy of prohibiting tobacco and an increasing age limit that's already begun, so that someone who's aged, I think, 16 now will never legally be able to access tobacco.
Buy tobacco.
So eventually you'll have an age limit of 50 or 60 or 70, you know, as the age limit goes up every year. And so because tobacco is going to be illegal itself, and it's as addictive as heroin, you know, so you've got to provide something for people. So that's what the vapes are for. I guess the issue is, have they made them gone a bit too far,
yes,
a bit too accessible?
Had a few years.
But certainly the these current changes they're doing, which are kicking in next month, so it's very quick in terms of, here's a new rule for an industry. No disposables, restrictions on the flavours, changes to the packaging. I think you're going to see a lot of the issues that people talk about are probably going to be resolved.
Yes. Nice one.
But certainly vaping for your cannabis, love it, get into it. And what I like about it too is you can go through the temperature ranges, you can start at a lower one, taste all your terpenes, you can go up through your THC, then your CBD, have it a bit higher at the end to finish off, whatever. But some of the vapes as well, that they have different modes. Like, we saw one called the Da Vinci that has these things called smart paths, so the temperature profile goes through different temperature ranges during the session, and you can control it through your phone and things like that. So yeah, get into it.
Technology is fucking wild, dude.
It's your friend.
All right, hey Chris from the Hemp Store. Everyone out there listening, you can head on up to the Hemp Store until 7 p.m. tonight and get your substances checked.
That's it. And Matariki next Thursday, also open late.
All right, sweet.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
To the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with man.